and you're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. Continue our conversation with AHRC reps Shoshana Dennison, Heather Thorgerson, and Annie Schlick, all facing the enormous challenge of supporting people with special needs as they get older. Ladies, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, where we left off just a few moments ago, we were talking a little bit about the aging committee. You know, I think our listeners are going to want to know, I sure do, who comprises the aging committee? I'm sure a lot of thought goes into choosing members. What does that look like?
It, like I said, it's a group, a very eclectic group of like-minded professionals. We have social workers. We have representatives from the training department. We have an occupational therapist, a physical therapy assistant, a few behavior intervention specialists, and a house manager from our designated dementia IRA.
Well, now that's interesting, I think. So the aging committee, because it's often dealing with problems around memory, memory loss, and dementia, includes someone with expertise in that area.
Yes, actually, a few of our members are also certified dementia practitioners.
Nice. And I'm assuming based on our conversation and what I know about the nature of supports for people with dementia, that the people on this committee knows the backstory around the people they're supporting, so that their interventions and their treatment can be personalized. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Before we go into a residence or a day program, we're making sure that we've reviewed the history. We have a sister committee who created a page called My Personal Page, and every single individual that we support has one in their main file, and it is a list of their likes, their desires, who they are as a person, their family, how they grew up, so that our population who is aging and maybe having some more forgetfulness and can't readily recall those things, we can prompt them with that list and those suggestions that are on there.
And that My Personal Page is created by the staff who support them directly with input from the person.
Oh, nice.
So we it's not just for people who are have a diagnosis of dementia. It's for all people we support at AHRC, so that we have that baseline. So as their needs change, even on a Saturday afternoon, if you're a new staff member coming to a person's IRA program or, out to the ICF and you're not 100% sure, you haven't had a chance to read all of the books, it's a great page that this is my way into the person. You know, they don't really like people being in their personal space, so I need to make sure I introduce myself before I approach them. Mm-hmm. So it's a great tool to use throughout the agency, and it stays with the person.
And it's updated annually at their meetings.
It is.
And it's a living, breathing document, so it can always change. And we encourage staff and empower staff, you can go ahead and write on it with pen and let us know if something's changed for the person. And then when their meeting comes along, we can go in and make it look fancy and beautiful by typing it up. But, you're discovering more and more about the person from day to day. So don't wait for the year to pass by to be like, oh, now I'm going to let you know.
Sure.
We discovered he really likes red pepper flakes.
So it stays fluid.
It
stays current and subject to the kind of changes as people's tastes.
Like any
change,
of us.
Like anybody's taste. And I think what I like about this is consistent with just good treatment in general. This idea that it be tailored and prescribed to a specific person. I think it comes with additional emphasis when you're dealing with somebody with dementia. It's not just a matter of being entertained. It's not any music that you want to use. It's not any movie. It's not any story or narrative. It's the kind of content that will have real meaning and spark a little interest and potentially even some memory of someone that you're supporting. And that would be true of somebody with special needs, as well as someone on the neurotypical end of things. So I agree with that. Part of this conversation converges, of course, on training in general. So let's talk a little bit about that. What kind of training does it take to really provide effective supports for people with special needs as they're getting older?
Well, one of the ways we our attention is brought to a person is struggling is that the staff will reach out to the aging support committee. They'll reach out to their frontline supervisor, who will then reach out to us. So the first thing we do is we go out and observe the person that's being supported in the environments and then help validate for staff. You are 100% correct in what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. You know the person best. And then what we do is we bring all of our observations. We have a schedule for 2 weeks. We go out there and we observe the person on different shifts at different times, different routines that they have. We as a committee bring that information back. We share it roundtable and talk about what we all saw. And then we create kind of a list of here's what we saw, here's what you saw, here's some ideas that we have, here's some great resources. And we always start with the first resource, which is staff training to understand what aging looks like for the people we support, and especially dementia and Alzheimer's as well. And then we'll reach out to the Alzheimer's Association. They have been very generous with their time and resources. They will go out to the sites that we have, the houses and the day programs, and conduct on-site training. And then what we do is come back in after that, and we do very specific training for the person. We look at their books, we look at their information, we look at their history, we talk to the staff, we kind of draft up a plan of protective oversight for the person, and we talk about their likes, their dislikes, what music's going to be important to them, what time of day is the best day, if you're going to go in and work on goals or maintain goals. It's helping staff understand that we get the challenge that comes when you're trying to provide support for a person with dementia in the field of intellectual and development and disabilities. There are a lot of challenges that come with that, you know, in and of itself.
So the process very often begins with someone, often a frontline supervisor, flagging a concern. I'm assuming someone else could flag a concern too, and there would still be that level of response, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And then you partner with the Alzheimer's organization to provide training, and then you follow up and layer upon that some training that you provide as well. What does that look like? What is the training, you know, briefly, but what is the training that the organization, the Alzheimer's organization, look like, and how do you complement that?
Alzheimer's Association's training is going to be your pretty much informational setting, a PowerPoint presentation to help understand, some helpful handouts, some information.
For staff at this point.
For staff at this point. When we then, after the Aging Support Committee, kind of create our plan of training, it's very much hands-on, on-site mentoring, modeling, and it's constant. And then again, here we are now in the person's story, and we'll walk away, you've got this, you always have that point person, you can call and say, this is not working, or we tried this, or, you know, hey, this is great, we want to build upon this, we will always come back out again. And then as a person's needs change, as they age, we go back out and layer on more training. This is where you are now. This is what best techniques will work for that person.
So it follows, I think, a very logical pattern where the portion that the Alzheimer's organization provides tends to be didactic, probably a little philosophical, less clinical, and a little broader. And then you guys come back in on the scene and make it more applied and individuated.
Right, person-centered.
And person-centered to the people you support. And I'm assuming that process relies on input and feedback from the full circle of support, family, friends, colleagues, clinicians, and all the people who are interacting with the people you're supporting to get a real rich view of what that. I think what makes it hard, though, perhaps you'll agree, but I think what makes it hard when you're working with someone with special needs, and particularly someone with potentially dementia and special needs, is not only getting a good window into who they are and how they're functioning now, but what was important to them then, like reaching back in time. And who are your informants for that kind of information?
If they still have living family members, obviously they would be the front line. But then we have a number of our residents who have been with our agency for years, and they have staff that have been with them. So we would go back to them and maybe ask, even if they're not with them now currently, we would ask them for input. Again, each person is a different story. Sure. So we're always searching for the caregiver or the person that they worked with that can give us the best information. And again, we have a lot of documentation just because that's the way the agency is set up. From year to year, there's documentation. So it's great to look back historically at the psychosocial paperwork and whatnot. So you'll get a lot of information from that. But again, going back and finding the people who knew them back when they really had preferences and likes that were clear, we can then document it and then introduce it to them back and hope that there's some spark.
We also are a CQL accredited agency, so those personal outcome measure interviews are huge for us because that's from the person themselves. or from their staff, you know, serving as, you know, an interpreter for them. So we have the person's information right then and there. So that, again, is part of their whole history with
us.
Oh,
I like this. So that becomes particularly reliable because it's coming from that person.
Yeah.
You know, I think what makes this so challenging, I mean, it's the same basic good guidelines that would inform how we would treat anyone with dementia, anybody at a particular place in life, whether a lot of losses. But it comes with a greater complexity when the starting point is different, when you may already be dealing with issues around language and memory even before the onset of some kind of pathology. I got to thank you, ladies. What an important conversation. It's something we need to continue. We really are just scratching the surface around the enormous challenges that surround aging with or without special needs for that point. My guests, thank you so much, Annie Schlick, Heather Thorgerson, and Shoshana Dennison. Great show, important conversation. We will continue. 103.9 FM, DDI on Autism. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.